It's Thursday, May 6th, 2021. I'm Tanya Harris, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. Ron DeSantis, the human equivalent of the before picture in a before and after ad, gave Fox News exclusive rights to watch him sign Florida's new highly restrictive voting bill into law. Wow, it's not bad enough he's making it harder for people to vote. He's even making it harder for them to see him do it. Yesterday on The View, conservative Meghan McCain ripped the GOP as, quote, a sausage fest for choosing, quote, Cheeto Jesus over Liz Cheney. You know things are getting out of control for the Republicans when Meghan McCain and Liz Cheney become the voices of reason. Pfizer announced that they would donate vaccine doses to Tokyo 2020 Olympic athletes to forestall having to cancel the games again this summer. Thank God we now have vaccines going where they're needed most, to the healthiest people on earth. According to TMZ, Bill and Melinda Gates' divorce is anything but friendly and has been a long time in the making. Turns out Melinda's been pissed ever since Bill introduced her to Clippy. Speaking of the Microsoft couple, Zhi Wang, a Chinese interpreter for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has denied rumors that she played any part in the billionaire couple's decision to get divorced. If the rumors turn out to be true, it'll be another example of problems for a U.S. businessman who decided to outsource to China. Florida's Disney World will stop requiring on-site temperature checks for guests and staff on May 16th, which seems perfectly reasonable since no one would go to an amusement park during a worldwide pandemic that killed 600,000 Americans unless they were 100% sure they didn't have COVID. The season 4 premiere of The Handmaid's Tale set a record for the largest audience for a Hulu original production, proving that after the last 4 years, people enjoy watching someone other than us suffer in an oppressive dystopia. Ellen DeGeneres revealed that she is living with Courtney Cox while looking for a new home after selling her Beverly Hills estate, making this either a wonderful act of generosity or the worst pitch for a Friends reunion episode ever. Oh, and according to Ellen, she and Portia are not on a break. After receiving complaints of loud music that lasted into the early morning hours on Thursday, Los Angeles police broke up a birthday party attended by several hundred people for singer Chris Brown that was held at his Tarzana home. I don't know about you, but I think it's refreshing to hear the words Chris Brown and police and not have to add the word assault into the mix. Conan O'Brien says that not being an actor or comedian makes Elon Musk the dream guest for Saturday Night Live. Yeah, kind of like being good at searching for sketch comedy on YouTube makes you a dream writer for the show. Now, let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
I'm just happy to be here today. Just truly, truly happy. That's all I'm going to say.
Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts. Not only is it still National Teachers Week, but today is National Nurses Day. Oh. It is also the National Day of Prayer. So I'd like to say a quick prayer and say, Lord, universe, or whoever you believe in, please let nurses and teachers get paid better. Thank you.
Great. Yes.
Well, that didn't kill the whole momentum, did it?
Well, what are you guys disagreeing with me?
No,
the market should decide everything, Joe. The market should decide.
Don't they make enough already?
Elizabeth, how are you doing?
Teachers get 3 months of year off anyway. No, I'm kidding. Dude, I have so many teachers in my family. Not even.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I 100% agree. Teachers and nurses should be paid more. It's ridiculous. But anyway, happy Thursday. How's everyone doing?
Danny.
Happy Friday Eve, everybody. And on this National Day of Prayer, I just want to pray for continued health, success, and happiness for each one of you and your loved ones.
There you go, jinxing us. Thanks, Danny.
Hi, everybody. I know I look like a porn producer, but what I really want to do is correct.
You need to undo another button if you want to direct.
There no more.
Okay, the fact that this is happening just down the hall for me. Say that.
Yeah, live. It's called live. We're back to live again. Hey guys, we're back.
Chris, how you doing?
Hi guys, I'm doing good. Just want the viewers to know I did not cut my hair. I just have it in a ponytail, so I'm still got the locks going. Secondly, shameless plug, if you like hearing my voice and you like that I'm funny, then you can watch me tomorrow night at Flappers at 5 p.m. in the Yoohoo room. Go to flapperscomedy.com right now and get your tickets. I would love to see you there if you would like to see me there, because I'm going to be there.
What time does the show start?
5 p.m.
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay. No worries. Oh, also, since it's National Prayer Day, I want to pray for my own personal success and prosperity and hopefully my fame to shortly come. Hope nobody wants to try to cancel me as soon as I get famous, because I know some of you suck ass bitches are out there. But right now, fuck y'all,
Chris,
in the face right now.
Chris, don't come back to this episode.
Chris, I'm praying that one day you could get an 8 o'clock slot.
Chris, I'm just praying that you have less assaults at your birthday party than Chris Brown had.
I'm also praying for that too. If I could have negative 10 assaults, that'd be fantastic. I don't know if that's possible, but I want that. That's what
I want. Invite a lot of white people.
And done. How's it going, everybody? Happy Thursday.
Okay, so let's start tonight's show. Tuesday on a Sirius satellite radio show, Howard Stern warned Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Matthew McConaughey that running for political office could ultimately be a losing proposition for them. Let's listen to a little bit about what he said.
But you know what it is with these guys, especially people in show business? They don't understand that once you run for office, you actually have to give an opinion.
This was working just fine a few minutes ago.
It's not a TMI show without a technology failing.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think we should be able to do this. This should not be this hard.
We always say that what works perfectly five minutes before the show starts.
Especially people
always fails.
They don't understand.
You know,
that once
to,
you run for office,
this.
You actually have to have an opinion.
I think everyone loves the Rock.
Could I button another button? Is that over?
People who are in the military assume the Rock is pro-military. The people who are in the police force believe.
Hold on, we're gonna go to it now. You ready?
People who are Trumpies
just like cue it up again, Veronica. Say it again.
Okay, so
people who are liberals go, you know what?
On a Sirius satellite radio show, Howard Stern.
As soon as this big
lunkhead has to answer a question,
where they go, Rock, how do you feel about abortion rights? And then
let's
he's like,
listen to a little of what he said.
I mean, isn't it always my fault? Come on, let's be fair. My fault. You know what? Cue it up one more time. This time it's gonna work, I swear.
Okay. Tuesday on a Sirius satellite radio show, Howard Stern warned Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Matthew McConaughey that running for political office could ultimately be a losing proposition for them. Let's listen to a little of what he said.
But you know what it is with these guys, especially people in show business? They don't understand that once you run for office, you actually have to give an opinion. So if you're The Rock, and everyone loves The Rock because, like, people who are in the military assume The Rock is pro-military. The people who are in the police force believe The Rock is a law and order guy. The people who are Trumpies believe The Rock really secretly loves Trump. The people who are liberals go, you know what? The Rock's with us. As soon as this big lunkhead has to answer a question where they go, Rock, how do you feel about abortion rights? And then he's like, I'm for it. Oh, oops. Suddenly people don't love The Rock. Same with Matthew McConaughey. You can't figure out what the fuck this guy's talking about. He's a brilliant actor, bright guy and everything, but you don't know where he stands on any issues. You don't even know. Wait, they've never said to Matthew McConaughey, Matthew, where do you stand on school shootings and gun control? As soon as he has to answer that, half the text is going to take him and throw him out a window.
So what is your opinion about what Howard said? I mean, I personally like Howard Stern. I think he's very smart, and I agree with a lot of the things that he says. And I think he's 100% correct on this, because I think some when you're a celebrity, you play it safe. Some do, not all of them. So they kind of want to appeal to both sides. But once they become a politician, like he said, they do have to come out and say where they stand. So I want to hear your opinions first, and then I'm going to give you guys some facts about them. Let's start with you, Elizabeth.
Oh, no, he's 100% right. I've said this before, a lot of, you know, almost all art is political in some way, if, you know, it leans one way or the other often. So yeah, more conservative people who like The Rock in certain types of movies, or Matthew McConaughey in certain types of movies, think, yeah, that guy agrees with me, and same on the other side with liberals. But yeah, the second you have to make a direct answer on, like you said, abortion rights, gun control, taxes even, you know, like, that's gonna cleave your fan base in half one way and the other. There's no going back. Like, and so, yeah, they've been able to make these sort of vaguely political statements and be very center for the Rock in particular. Like you said, some celebrities are full on, like, I'm hardcore liberal or I'm hardcore conservative, either right. or. But these guys who have this mass appeal, it's going to dwindle depending on what they say.
And I think the two of them particularly are those celebrities that do play it safe. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to alienate one group or the other. That's what I know about them. Pete?
Well, I think what happens is when you're talking about certain celebrities, there's some that there's really no political cost to them doing it. I mean, when Meryl Streep comes out and says something, you know, that is very partisanly liberal, it's not hurting her, because the kind of people that don't want to hear what she has to say are probably not going to Meryl Streep movies.
Probably another one, too, I think, as well. What? Robert De Niro, I think.
Oh, no, there's a lot of people. I'll tell you, De Niro is probably one of the few that actually know that's not true, because you're real hardcore Italians in New York. I could tell you without a question of a doubt, they were all big Trump people. And having De Niro come out against Trump as many times as he did didn't help him. But the thing is, like, there's certain people that are kind of Teflon, because Robert De Niro is not, he's not per se like an action star or a blockbuster movie star. So, you know, you're not worrying so much about him, you know, how well the movie he does is going to, you know, does at the box office. Whereas somebody like The Rock or McConaughey, you're probably going to be looking at, you know, how many people go to see their movies before they get their next big movie, you know, and if it starts to dwindle, it doesn't help them. So yeah, they have to be centrist, because if they're not, all of a sudden people now start to pick sides on whether they like them or they don't.
Okay, Joe.
Oh, Chris was ahead of me.
Oh, Chris.
Thank you, Joe. First, two things. One, first thing is, I do not understand why on earth any famous big name actor like this would want to go into politics. Like, what is the appeal of it? Like, where are you trying to be?
Unless ego, you're baby. Trying to,
but not even ego, because here's the thing, is like, unless you're running for the highest office, which is the president, what are you doing? You're making less money. You're going to have less influence, and you're going to destroy your career if you don't win. If you don't win and you try to go back to acting because of whatever you stood on is going to offend somebody. If you are liberal, then you're going to offend conservatives. If you're conservative, you're going to offend liberals. So when you try to go back and have a career, you just lost half of your audience. You know what I'm saying? And now you probably lost half of your followers on Instagram, half your followers on Twitter, like all this shit factors. And then therefore, when you're asking, when you go back to the studios and you're like, hey, I want fucking $20 million for a movie, they're going to go tell you, no, you get $10 million because you don't have half the fan base you used to. So, secondly, he's absolutely right, because even McConaughey actually ran into some problems in 2020 because he appeared on a YouTube show called Conversations with a Black Man, where he was talking about the racial issues that happened with the thing in with George Floyd and some and the other police brutality cases and things of that nature. And he was also talking about, like, you know, white supremacy and him being from the South and all this other stuff. And he had a very solid stance against all that injustice. So he probably already hurt himself in some way, especially with conservative, you know, people from Texas and things of that nature. So, like, the idea that, like, anybody wants to go into politics, especially when you're like a famous actor like this, is just ridiculous. Like, you have more influence being The Rock than Senator Rock. You know what I'm saying?
Joe?
Yeah, I agree with him too. I think sometimes celebrities, just by saying their opinion on social media, hurts them. Yeah. But the proof is in the pudding. I mean, Before Donald Trump ever thought of running for president, people watched his show, right? And then whether you liked him, maybe you liked him because he was a buffoon, or maybe, you know, the other thing, but he can't go back to the show now. It would never get the ratings that it did, you know, and that, because everyone is now strictly straight divided on it. So that's really, I mean, it's an extreme addition, but that's really kind of proof of what happens. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't know about Matthew McConaughey. I know he's doing all right. But The Rock, man, The Rock doesn't want to step. He has an empire. Why would he want to step away from that, man? He is living large right now. Yeah. So he should just be enjoying what he's got, man.
Ian, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just think people aren't taking into account the fact that a lot of these big celebrities are probably delusional to the point where they think they have a higher calling, and that calling is politics.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, but you could see why. I mean, look, everybody on this screen has some aspiration, except for Danny, has some aspiration to succeed in entertainment. And we all kind of know how hard it is. So when one of them does succeed, it really does kind of like come across that it's more than just, you know, your talents or your look, that there's got to be something more to it. And some of them probably do think there's higher powers that put them in the place they are.
So I have some political facts about them, but before I get into that, I want to ask you guys, based on what you know about Dwayne Johnson and Matthew McConaughey, which political ideology do you assume they align more with? Just who wants to guess? Danny.
I would think that The Rock would be more liberal, whereas McConaughey would probably be more, actually liberal too. He's kind of loony, but he'd be a wild card.
Okay. Stuart, what do you think?
Well, just to go back for a second, I think Howard Stern is mostly right, but politicians also sometimes don't take strong stands on things, and they just kind of waffle to say what's convenient in the moment. So I think that theoretically politicians should take a strong stand against, you know, on the issues, but they don't always do that anyway. So the celebrities won't have to either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Elizabeth, what do you think?
I would think The Rock is like moderate conservative, but that's so not a thing really anymore. So I guess he would technically probably fall on the liberal. Liberal remix. Damn commies. And then I take it back. I think they're both kind of liberal libertarians, if that makes sense. I feel like they don't want taxes on shit because they want to keep their money.
Yep.
Tax. But they do want, like, social good. But you have to have taxes to pay for that shit.
Okay. One more person want to weigh in on this. Tris, what do you think?
I 100% agree with what Elizabeth said. I think they would be like, yeah, moderate libertarians. You know what I mean? Maybe I feel like The Rock would probably push closer to like a conservative libertarian. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But and then like I think McConaughey would be more on the liberal side of libertarian. You know what I mean? But I do think that like they would both be like she said, like. No taxes, no little
they're
government.
They're fiscally conservative, but they're socially liberal.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so let me tell you guys some things that we know about their politics. I'm going to start first with Matthew McConaughey.
According
to Texas state records, where he's a resident, he has not voted in a primary since at least 2012. Not given any campaign contributions to any politician. Or political party, and has not designated his party affiliation. Mm. He voted in both the 2018 and 2020 general elections, both times early, once in person, the second time via mail-in ballot. He has spoken out against gun violence and claimed that there should be stricter laws to prohibit it. He spoke at the 2018 March for Our Lives rally in Austin. Last year, he spoke out against the liberal left for taking an arrogant view of the other 50% of the country. He has said that growing up, he came from a long line of rule breakers, outlaw libertarians who voted red. It'll keep fewer outlaws from trespassing on their territory.
Yep.
When asked about whether he would run as a Democrat or a Republican if he ran for governor of Texas, he said that he hasn't gotten that far yet, adding, quote, I think going in to think Democrat or Republican or one of the other is small thinking now and even becoming unconstitutional because you're supposed to serve the American people or the people of your state. So does
what a bullshit comment that is.
He's already a politician. Holy shit.
He's a president.
Oh my God.
With those words. Yep. So, based on what I just read, I mean, it's fair to say that, you know, I mean, I know, Elizabeth, you said libertarian.
Yeah.
Do you think it's pretty straightforward then? Can we say that that's what he would run as, or is it still pretty vague?
I think he'd run libertarian based on that, especially with the, like, look, I'm an outlaw rule breaker, and I can't be confined by your two-party system. I'm here to shake it up and break the rules, and I think you should do whatever you want, because we're all rule breakers, and I've been smoking weed for 30 fucking years, and it hasn't mattered. I want to play bongos any time of night, and there shouldn't be a law against that. I don't understand how the system works.
Hey, you leave the bongo, naked bongo playing alone, all right?
He was
definitely naked. Yeah,
naked. Elizabeth, you know who else is a rule breaker? Dennis Hopper.
Man.
Stuart.
I think he will run as whatever is going to get him elected if he runs.
I don't think so.
I think his beliefs will be what polls best.
I don't think he's that that phony, though, in a weird way. I think he's
The Rock seems like he'd be that phony. I think The Rock would be that phony.
I don't think he necessarily governed that way, but I think he'd just say whatever he had to say to get elected.
Hey, Joe, what do you think?
Unfortunately, like he's going to have to pick one of the two parties because I don't think he'd win as a libertarian, even if he went as an independent. You know, ask another celebrity, so I say celebrity with quotes, celebrity that won the governorship, Jesse Ventura, he won as an independent and then could not get anything done because neither party would back him on anything because he was independent. He wasn't on one party side or the other. So it made making policy absolutely impossible. So even if by chance he does win as a libertarian, he won't get a damn thing done. So he's going to have to pick a side. So I think it's going to be whatever that side looks good at that point.
Sad.
Okay, Pete.
See, I don't think he could run as a Republican only because they've deemed that the Republican Party's demonized Hollywood and actors so much that he would just they wouldn't allow him to be their party spokesperson, you know, for fear that there'd be backlash because of all the things they've kind of put in front of him already. And I don't know that he would want to run as a Democrat because he would be too polarizing in Texas. Mm-hmm. So I think his only route, if he ran, would be as an independent because that way he can just play the middle and not have to worry about pissing off anybody. Now, whether or not he got in or what happens once he was in, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, no, I mean, there's no way he picks either the main two parties, or, you know, in Texas's case, where the Republicans would pick him.
Okay. Let me go to Ian, and then I'm going to go to Dwayne Johnson. Go ahead, Ian.
Green Party. that's all I got.
Okay, so now let me tell you a little bit about Dwayne Johnson and what we know. He claims to be politically independent, saying, quote, "As a political independent and centrist for many years, I voted for Democrats in the past as well as Republicans." He did speak at the 2000 Republican National Convention, but he also attended the Democratic Convention that year. After the death of George Floyd, he spoke out against Donald Trump, but never once mentioned him by name, simply referring to him as the leader in comments like this. "Where is our leader at this time when our country is down on its knees, begging, pleading, hurt, angry, frustrated, in pain, with its arms out, just wanting to be heard?" He made his first political endorsement ever when he came out in favor of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. He has not given any political contributions to either party. So, isn't it interesting how both of these people that we're talking, they're not candidates yet, but these people that we're talking about, their political views are very vague. And again, is it because they are celebrities, do you think? Or have we seen this before? Pete, your hand went up really high. So
I don't think it's because of celebrities, because again, there are a lot of celebrities that are telling you exactly where they stand, for good or for bad. I mean, you know, there are celebrities that are very right leaning and they paid the price. I think the only one who hasn't has probably been Clint Eastwood. But as far as, like, you know, liberals in Hollywood, that's really obvious. It's the type of celebrity that they are. Again, I think this just comes down to when you're dealing with your fan base being mostly men and mostly, you know, and like known mostly for either action films or, you know, or parts that are heavy on male, you know, like heavy male parts. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I didn't say that in the right way, but you know what the hell I mean.
You meant very masculine,
like very, very masculine type of films. Yes.
Heavy male parts.
Yeah, but I think Hulk out of a cast just by flexing their arm.
Yeah, I just think the fear is at that point not to alienate anybody when you're those people. But again, that's them. I don't really think it affects a lot of celebrities in that way. I mean, look, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a Republican. It didn't really hurt him. But then again, by the time he ran, his career was kind of waning already.
Yeah.
So it wasn't much of a thing. And he was very outspoken against Trump over the last 4 years.
But you know what the interesting part is, before I go to somebody else? You just mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger. That just seems like that was so long ago. Yeah. Now, after what we saw these past 4 years with Trump, it seems like everything has changed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like I forget that Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor.
Yeah,
like, it's been that long.
For a while, too.
You know, things have changed so much just within the last 4 years. And I think that's why we're, you know, having this conversation even more so. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that he went to both conventions in 2000. Playing it very safe. Okay. And there's no public you didn't have any like record of him vote, like, obviously votes are private, you can't say who, you know, you don't have to say,
right,
who you
vote because for, he's voted for both, like Democrats,
he said he's voted for both. I buy that too, because I have met people who do that. Yeah, the Biden endorsement is definitely interesting. I think he would probably still run independent as well if he were to run for as anything, and be like, "I'm truly center. I'm here for all of America. The Rock loves America, etc., etc." And like I said, I think he would be like the fiscally conservative, socially liberal angle that a lot of people tend to take. But I was gonna say, damn, he's good, because man, both conventions switching it up, and I think you were saying too, like the last 4 years has driven people to have to kind of say something even if they didn't really want to. I think if he and many other more center celebrities like him had their druthers, they wouldn't say have to say anything or you know, endorse anyone. They could just kind of keep coasting as they had been. Mm-hmm. But I think the events of just even the past year have forced a lot of people's hands.
Yeah, I agree. And again, it's the Trump effect, I think, yeah. My opinion. And it's not about like, oh, so are you a Republican or a Democrat? It's like, oh, did you support Trump? Like, were you
mm-hmm. one of yeah. the
people?
And yeah, he could theoretically be more conservative and have more conservative views, but yeah. the Republican Party and the more conservative party as it is split so bizarrely now mm-hmm. that you have like absolute bonkers people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. How does The Rock say, well, yes, I'm in the same party as that absolute batshit broad, but I'm not crazy. I just don't want to pay taxes on my movie money.
Exactly.
Dude, that kind of goes to a really good question, though. Like, we're watching the like actual conservative Republican Party disappear in the next few days. You know, once they get rid of Liz Cheney from their leadership and they install a Trump loyalist, there's really no more there's no more regular Republicans anymore. So does that kind of like push people with a higher profile, people like celebrities, to just kind of distance themselves altogether from what is today's Republican Party, because it just becomes so out there that like even somebody like Clint Eastwood can't be a Republican right now.
Yeah, it's too toxic because you either have the absolute rabid, crazy Trump loyalist nutbar people who are turning off the still conservative but at least slightly more rational element. Who kind of are not, they're not really being absorbed by the left by any means, but they're sort of wandering in the desert. They don't really have a home at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go to Danny real quick because we haven't heard from him, and then I'll go to you, Joe. Go ahead, Danny.
I think they're all going to have to come out and say exactly who they supported and what party they're going to affiliate themselves. I think a lot of celebrities have been found to be put in that position. Taylor Swift was put in that position until mm-hmm. she finally came out and said that she was voting, you know, supporting Biden. I think The Rock values his ego. And I think I think it might have been Chris who said that he's going to go wherever he's going to be voted. And he's going to be supporting that phony vibe, you know, and just try to be backed by people who are going to get him elected, whether it be Republicans or Democrat. But I think at this point, you know, anybody who chooses the dark side, you know, is not going to get elected by a lot or be supported by a lot of people. And they're going to lose a lot more fans if they cast themselves to be, you know, Republican.
Yeah, it's like I think it's like a double-edged sword. Like, you can't have mm-hmm. it both ways. Like, you know, because they associate you with the politics. And on top of that, you know, you also lose fans as well. Joe, and then we're going to move on.
Let's not call The Rock playing it conservative that he was at both conventions in 2000. We don't know if he was a spokesperson or whatnot for a social cause or whatnot, but that's a very easy way to go out in Gladhead is to go to both conventions because you have everybody kind of all in one place. So if you have an issue or something, you know, he could have been a spokesperson for a charity or something. And that's a really easy way to get everybody in the same room because they are all literally in the same room. So let's not say that on that. But yeah, I mean, like Pete said, you know, the Republican Party is completely changed. So it's a little tough for people to get in there. Of course, you know, Matthew McConaughey will be running in Texas and he already has a really big catchphrase. So you never know. He might just go, all right, all right, all right.
Yeah. So we shall see. Before we move on to the next topic, though, did you guys know that WWE fans, most of them tend to be Democrats and not Republicans? I learned that today.
It's not most. I didn't.
But it's not actually most. It's just about 50% of them.
There's more.
Well, no, they're wrong. It's a majority of them, but it's not most.
Well,
it's not like
isn't 90%. That what the most means? Isn't it majority and most?
Majority, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. But I have a lot of people I follow on Twitter who, as far as I know, are more liberal leaning or very liberal leaning, fucking love the WWE and are all in and invested in all the storylines and everything. And to me, growing up, WWE was a more of a conservative thing to me in a weird way. I just sort of associated it with more conservative
people. It actually makes a lot of sense if you think about it. It makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because like literally it's like, think of the World Wrestling Entertainment, right? So you're already talking about the world. And it's also, it's very fucking diverse. I mean, you look at all the wrestlers and shit like that. They have black, they have Japanese, they have Pacific Islander, they've had Mexican, they've had big, small, fucking midget wrestling. Like, they've had so much diversity. It's almost like hard for you. They have.
It's the same person.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Little person seems more offensive than me. So I don't say little person. That seems more offensive than midget. So, and I'm sorry if that offends anybody. I apologize.
Yeah, and you know, but,
and that, like,
that's true.
But you know, what I'm saying, like, it's so diverse. Like, how can you be so conservative watching a show like that? It's crazy. It's bonkers.
Sure. When it was smaller and it started in the South and all that, it probably had a lot more of a Republican following in it and all that. Mm-hmm. But as a group, but I think the big thing that really changed it was when they went out and said, "Hey, listen, it is scripted. It's not. This isn't real." You know, because they said, hey, our fans are smarter than that and stuff like that. And I think that had a lot to do with it, too, because then I was like, OK, yeah, we get it. It's scripted and all that. It's still entertaining. But we all know that, you know, they're all going to go home and have a beer together and stuff like that. And I think that had a lot to do with that, too. That's where you saw a lot of it change.
Well, they say statistically it's because more than 50% of their audience is black or Latino. So. And since both groups do skew more towards Democrats, that's why. But it's also kind of telling that on one side you've got the most liberal sports being the WNBA and the NBA, and the least and the most conservative sport being football. Baseball, by the way, is somewhere right in the middle.
It is America's pastime. It's the most American sport there is, Peter. Of course, it's in the middle.
Hey, Pete, where does NASCAR fit?
NASCAR actually, strangely enough, is if you look, you probably couldn't see the chart too well, but on the chart that was up there, it's like right before NFL football. NFL football is considered to be the most conservative sport of in the United States.
Does not shit.
I'm not either. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. But NASCAR actually is ultra conservative, but yeah, not apparently NFL is even more.
That's crazy.
Okay, so let's move on. When it was announced a few weeks ago that billionaire disruptor Elon Musk would be hosting May 8th Saturday Night Live, there was almost immediate backlash from fans of the show. Now, we're going to be talking about cast reactions in a few minutes, but why do you think so many people are objecting to having Musk host SNL? Like, for me, it's the fact that he's not an actor, and I think it's offensive to have someone like him host the show that has this history of having, you know, these amazing comedic people host the show. That's my thought. Let's start with you, Chris.
Well, first of all, him being on the show is just an attempt for him to make us believe that he's actually human so he can get the rest of his race to come and invade our planet. that's first of all. Secondly, I'm with you. Like, one, he's not an actor. Two, I've seen him in interviews before. He doesn't really have the personality of, like, range of emotions to, like, convey different kinds of characters. So, like, I don't see him being good on the show. And thirdly, like, if they, like, most of his humor from, like, interviews that I've watched with him, he's very, like, he's, like, super, super dry British humor. Like, so dry, it feels like you're chewing on cement dry humor. So, like, you can't do 12 sketches with just dry humor across the board. It's not going to be a fun show. So, like, this is clearly a ratings grab. That's really all it is. Definitely. Everybody's just waiting to see the disaster that is imminent.
And I think, too, like, I feel like SNL doesn't have enough confidence in themselves anymore like they used to, because we know it's not as funny as it used to be. I mean,
Trump's not president anymore.
It's terrible. Yeah, so. I mean, it's, you know, some of those
Trump sketches were bad.
Even the Trump sketches were terrible, just that's awful. So now they're trying to boost their ratings by this because people are going to watch a train wreck happen, pretty much. Joe?
Oh, okay. SNL before has had people that weren't actors as hosts, a lot of sports celebrities, things like that, who weren't, and you know, they pushed him along. I mean, I like Michael Jordan as much as anybody, but his show was kind of just you could watch him reading the cue cards, you know, and the Barkley one and things like that. So, but it's not like they haven't had people that weren't actors before. What I think, and my personal feeling on this too, is that at least those guys earned it. They earned the spot to be on Saturday Night Live. When you're in this industry, especially when you're in comedy, getting to Saturday Night Live, even when it doesn't have the prestige that it used to, but it's still, that was the thing. You had to earn your way there, whether you were a writer, whether you were an actor or whatnot. That was kind of the big thing to go. And it feels like Elon Musk just kind of, it almost feels like he just kind of paid his way in. He hasn't done anything to earn being the host. And I think this is the first time that I've ever seen a host that I don't think has earned his spot. So, I mean, that's my personal feeling on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two words, Steve Forbes.
Yeah. I think he's earned it as much as any athlete. I mean, I don't know how Charles Barkley is more deserving of an SNL job than like Charles Barkley's great at basketball. Elon Musk is great at making money like that. I mean, why is one doesn't.
Yeah.
I think people just don't like it. Come on, Stuart. Push it over the line, Stuart. I think people are just mad because they don't like him. And I think a lot of celebrities are mad and comedians are mad because they want to be on SNL and they haven't been.
Well, and I'm actually going to get to what some of the cast members said of why they don't want him on there. But let me go to Elizabeth real quick and then we'll finish with Pete. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, yeah, it does in a weird way feel like he somehow bought into this thing because he hasn't really... I'm not saying he hasn't done anything. Obviously, he's done a ton of stuff. Yeah. But I think he hasn't really shown, like, Charles Barkley kind of showed personality and was, like, funny. Yeah. And that's kind of why you could justify him being on. And same with some of these athletes and things like that. They showed some personality. And it's kind of fun. I think people, I know, I'm like, is he going to allow anyone to make fun of him? You know, truly? like, in any of the sketches or the monologue? Or is it going to just be like, I'm here... It does feel like it's being used as a playground for him. And I think the other issue, you know, I don't know what everyone's reaction was exactly, but he's been sort of mildly like not quite anti-vax, but sort of not exactly endorsing the idea either. And kind of COVID, not entirely denying it, but not like whatever. They've had weird people on before, but he's just exceptionally weird. And because he's doing so many weird things, I think it's just sort of off-putting too. Yeah. He's an off-putting famous person.
Go ahead, Pete.
Well, I think that what we're all kind of getting to at, but not actually saying, is that he's not a celebrity. Now, there's a difference between being famous and being a celebrity. Like, you could say all you want that, well, Charles Barkley was an athlete or Michael Jordan is an athlete, but they were celebrities and athletes. Mm-hmm. And what Elon Musk is, he's a famous person who also happens to be an internet troll, which is one of the biggest problems. And when you allow him to open the door into celebrity, you're now opening the door to whatever messes he's going to start stirring up because he has a bigger audience. Because maybe there's a percentage of the country that watches Saturday Night Live. Apparently not as many people watch it as they used to, because right now their YouTube videos get more views than the actual show does. But when you open that door to people that maybe kind of only heard of him because he's the Tesla guy, you now open the door to the possibility that they're going to start following him. And then all the bullshit that he puts out there, the stuff about reopening America during the middle of the pandemic, because that was coming in like October of last year that he first started demanding that the America be reopened. But it's like, I think that's where the problem is. It's that he's a famous person who has a lot of money and a lot of pull and then got on the show, like everybody's saying, like he bought his way in. And I think that that's the problem for some people involved with the show and for some celebrities. I think when it comes to regular people who don't like him, there's enough reason not to. I mean, you know, if you're very liberal, there is the problem that he doesn't exactly want people to unionize involved with
well, his business. Well, AD, can I just interrupt you for a second? So AD Bryant, who's on the show, she, when they announced that he was going to be hosting, she actually tweeted a quote from Bernie Sanders that said, "The 50 wealthiest people in America today own more wealth than the bottom half of our people." And then Chris Redd, who after seeing Musk tweet out that he was asking fans for skit ideas, he said, "I'd call them sketches." So like he said, it seems like a lot of these cast members don't want him on for one reason or another. So
allegedly,
he's not a celebrity.
Yeah. And allegedly no one is being forced or pressure, you know, but there's, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. And then there's the actual, you know, understatement there, you know, or the subtext. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. The actual subtext of, well, you don't have to, but if you're still a featured player, like Bowen Yang has spoken out, and the other guy, Andrew Dismukes, who just joined this last year, they've both spoken out. I think they've both since deleted what they tweeted. That rhymed. So yeah, there's, you know, yeah, you don't have to, but Lauren can be kind of petty from what we understand too. So maybe they don't get bumped. Bowen's been the breakout star though, so it'd be in their best interest to keep Bowen Yang happy, but you never know.
There's also been a lot of discussion that a lot of the cast members were also unhappy when Donald Trump hosted in 2015, right before he kicked off his presidential run. Do you think a similar situation, Stuart? What do you think?
Well, I think people are afraid it's a similar situation. I think they're afraid Elon Musk is going to make a pivot to legitimacy, you know, and try politics or whatever. Fortunately, he can't be president. But he's eccentric billionaire douchebag, like epitomized eccentric tech billionaire douchebag. He's just the archetype for that. And nobody likes that. Like, people think he's a douchebag. And also, like, he's just going to be terrible on SNL. Like, he's going to be really, really bad. The monologue is going to be just a hot garbage. He's going to be so bad. And, like, as a fan of comedy, it hurts me to see him just, you know, it's going to hurt to see him be so bad on such an iconic stage like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's, like, some moral – I don't think it's, like, a moral issue. I think he's just going to suck. He's just going to be so bad.
I don't remember who said it, but I think it was you, Elizabeth. You said, I don't know, you know, we don't know if he's going to be comfortable with them making fun of him or whatnot. Now, we know somebody who was a cast member on SNL, and one of the things he's told us in the past is that when he was on the show, you know, when they have their guest, the guest does have a lot of input in terms of what, you know, material that they accept and that they'll do. So it'll be very interesting to see how he's going to work with the writers and what he's going to allow and what he's not, because clearly you have a lot of...
Because, I mean, soliciting the skit ideas was weird. And he also tweeted, let's see how live it is.
Like, does he want to take over and say, okay, this is what I want, and I want you to do this for me? And again, they do. The guest does have a lot of input, according to what we've been told from this person who was on there. So,
You know what? You know, if he's tweeting shit like that, that means he's probably going to try to go, like, off script and do some improv. He probably one of those guys like, I'm better off script. My improv skills are impeccable.
Which is pretty funny, but
he's going to be incredible. It's already the audience is already half full anyway.
I think you guys are completely wrong about this, and I'll tell you why. See, the thing is with Elon Musk is that whether we like it or not, the guy is a fucking genius. Really is a genius. He's done some amazing things. I mean, when he saw NASA couldn't do what their job right, he created SpaceX.
Everything's crashed, though, and they haven't really had a lot of
success. He hasn't exactly done a great job.
He got that car into orbit, but that's about it.
That's not true. He's actually gotten several people up to the International Space Station and gotten the rocket back now, which is something NASA still hasn't figured out how to do. You know, so he is a genius. I mean, there's no two ways about that. The problem is that he could come on the show and do everything that you expect him not to do, which is let them make fun of him, be very affable, be very like congenial, and then start to build a relationship with people that did not already have one, which is exactly what some of the cast members said about Trump, that they felt that Saturday Night Live helped normalize Trump for voters who might have thought twice about voting for him, and that seeing him on that show, or when he went on the Tonight Show and that asshole Jimmy Fallon played with his hair, that it normalized him. And I think that's, if you're somebody like Elon Musk, it's not to go on there and be a dick. It's to go on there and be exactly what people don't expect you to be. And to be very, very likable, so that when it's all over and done with, he can just spew all the bullshit that he spews every day of the week, and there's a bigger, wider audience.
That's a potential hazard, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also that slight chance that he actually ends up being good and wins an Emmy.
Oh, yeah, that would be
the worst.
There is that chance.
I know. I would.
But it's funny that you called it a train wreck. Who's the musical guest?
Miley Cyrus.
Oh,
need I say more?
I didn't know. I don't know. Is it Miley?
You know, oh, that's right. Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, but Miley Cyrus is talented, though.
She's good.
Why didn't they get his wife to do it?
Yeah, well, how come his wife isn't?
Yeah, why didn't Grimes do it? Featuring their baby, their baby, the quadratic equation or whatever.
Yeah.
So actually, some of the cast members are happy that he's hosting, and I just have a couple of quotes that I want to share with you before we finish this topic. So Michael Che, is it Che? How do you say his name?
Yeah, Che.
So he said he's the richest man in the world. How could you not be excited for that? And Pete Davidson claimed that he didn't understand why people were upset about Musk hosting. And this is what Pete Davidson said. And I'm going to quote him. People are like, I can't believe Elon Musk is hosting. You mean the guy that makes the Earth better and makes cool things and sends people to Mars? He also said he would 100% get stoned with Elon. And he was also planning on asking him for a Tesla. So he's excited. Yeah.
Neither of those people shock me that they're okay with.
Yeah, seriously. I'm not.
You mean both the people that are going to be leaving the show at the end of the season? Yeah. Chase got an HBO show.
Also, the two cheekiest bastards on the fucking show who just like watching the world burn anyway. Of course.
Yeah. Chase doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And Pete doesn't give a fuck either.
Yeah, absolutely.
And listen, I kinda like Elon Musk has not done a lot of things to help the Earth. People say that because he made an electric car. He's done stuff to make himself money.
Let's get that straight.
I know. Also, when did flamethrowers make the world better, Pete Davidson? Because I'm pretty sure
he never did replace those fucking pipes in Flint either, Elon Musk. Where the fuck is that?
You know what? This is the thing, though, and I hate to actually defend Elon Musk, but like last year or whatever, or the year before last, when he said that he could come in and build that underground pipeline through under the 101 freeway, I totally believed he could do it. And he probably could do it because he knows what he's doing and he knows how to hire the right people. But again, that does not make you qualified to be on Saturday Night Live. And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, if I...
How do you feel about that fucking tunnel, though? That's the dumbest
thing. The tunnel's dirty,
I would be thrilled with it. Anybody who's... You know, see, you guys all got lucky because you always were going in the other direction. But for people that did live on the other side of the 101 freeway here in Los Angeles... That I would go through a ring of fire to get to avoid the traffic.
Damn.
And if Elon Musk said,
but
he could take me on the Jungle Cruise boat across to avoid it, I would have done it. And so yeah, no, I believe that if you give him the ability to do something, like you tell him, yeah, here's the funding for it, do it. He could do it. I mean, like I said, I do not doubt his ability to get things done. I just don't think it's valid as far as
I don't doubt his ability, but I doubt his commitment because, like I said, Flint still doesn't have clean water. He said he would fix those pipes, and he never did.
Maybe they didn't offer to pay him to do it, though. I mean, is that possible?
If he's such a brilliant billionaire, shouldn't he do it out of the goodness of his heart?
Yeah.
Well, let me.
Helping the earth, helping himself.
Yeah.
My final question was then, who's going to benefit from all this? Do you think Elon Musk is actually going to help him? He's the one that's going to benefit.
Oh, yeah. I think Elon Musk is going to benefit the most from this, and I think that NBC is going to benefit really well from it because just so everybody knows, the Trump episode was the highest rated episode of Saturday Night Live in the last decade and a half, mm-hmm.
Wow.
and so again, you're putting somebody that's a volatile commodity on stage, and there's already been all this drama built up around it. People are going to watch whether they want to or they don't want to, just because there's going to be a certain amount of people they're going to watch him fail. Another amount of people they're going to want to watch because they're actually fans of his, and somewhere in the middle where people are just going to be curious to see what happens.
I think
he's ultimately going to be the winner because no matter how you go about it, the genie is now going to be out of the bottle, and it goes from Saturday Night Live to him guesting on, you know, doing little guest spots on shows and everything, because that's what happens.
Yeah. I better not see him on This Is Us because that'll be
that's
it. I'll be done with that.
He's gonna go back in time to.
I was gonna say he's gonna invent time travel and save him from the crackpot.
Yeah. Story arc on the Gilmore Girls.
All right. Oh yeah.
I want to hear from Joe, and then I'm going to move on to our final segment.
Well, okay. You got to get Stuart, because Stuart looks like he's not definitive.
That was Stuart, and then I want to move on to our final segment.
Okay. The actually, the bigger winner than Elon Musk and all those other guys is going to be YouTube. Because I don't think a lot of people are actually going to tune into the show, but they're going to tune into either the sketches he screws up or the sketches that are good. And ultimately, YouTube's going to get the biggest views out of all of this.
Yeah, or on Facebook Watch, too. Like Facebook, you know, the clips that they show on there. Yeah, that's true. And Stuart.
All right. If Elon Musk was open to hosting TMI, would we let him?
Oh, in 2 seconds.
That's my point.
It's not even like a remote thought that I wouldn't let him, but that doesn't mean that like I think it's a good idea. I just think that I know that we would get the biggest audience we could ever get with it. So yeah, no, I'm not going to deny that. This is entertainment, and if Elon Musk wanted to come on here and argue why he'd be great on Saturday Night Live, I'd be fine with that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's move on now to our final segment. Each week, the panel on TMI Daily shares its opinions on a wide range of topics, from politics to celebrities to pop culture, but very rarely do we try helping people with their everyday lives. So for that reason, tonight, we've gathered some actual questions from online advice columns so that we can give the kind of expert advice you'd expect from out-of-work actors and writers who do a podcast in a segment we call Dear TMI Daily, which is also my new favorite segment.
Dear TMI, everyone says I'm going to be terrible at this thing I want to try, but no one understands.
Oh, no.
Signed EM.
Okay, so let's start with our first question. Dear TMI Daily. Oh, it comes from Washed Up. Dear TMI Daily, I live in London. I'm a 40-year-old woman, and I work professionally in the theater as an actor, writer, producer, and director. I'm in a pickle about my work and success. Two of my plays have been published, but I have not had a big hit. It's been 15 years, and doors are still hard to push open. When I look on social media, the accomplishments of others feel painful to me. Projects similar to mine are becoming huge TV series. I'm in the running, I'm in contact with the gatekeepers, I have a good agent, but it's not quite happening. Am I getting too old to have a hit? How can I feel in less of a pickle around this, please? So she needs help. Advice for Washed Up. Let's start with Stuart.
Well, I think the first thing she needs to do is cast me in one of her plays.
Oh, boy.
I think that would really help bring her career forward.
Should I put you in Washed Up?
Hold on. I could speak to this as an expert. I cast you in one of mine, and it didn't do a fucking thing for me.
Stuart, she wants to be a success. Missed that part.
You guys are assholes.
The next letter is going to come from Stuart next week. Watch.
You're being mean to me on the internet. What do I do?
I'm part of a podcast and I feel bullied.
Yeah. Dear TMI, I work with several people who give me shit all the time. I understand her frustration, but I think she has to know there's no real timeline on anything. Yeah. It's all arbitrary and made up. You know, success is you can measure it in so many different ways. Is she paying her bills, keeping herself fed, both, you know, like physically and creatively, and still working and creating and striving for what she wants? She's doing all right, doing better than most people in that sense. But yeah, you know, people have always listed all the like so and so didn't write their first novel till such an age and things like that. It can happen any time. But she's doing the right thing, though, too, and continuing to work and pursue it and not be like, well, I've tried once and I failed and now I feel like the window is shutting. No, she's been hustling nonstop and the hustle sucks, but it'll either go, but she could also, and maybe I'll never go, but she could also look back on a lifetime and say, well, at least I tried.
Okay, Joe?
I agree with Elizabeth that always do the hustle. If you know the gatekeepers and stuff like that, make sure that you stay knowing them. Make sure that you know more. Make sure you go out and make as many contacts as you can. And also, when you look on social media and you see other people having their successes, instead of sitting there and contemplating why am I not successful and they are, celebrate theirs. The more that you celebrate other artists getting ahead, the more that it puts you in not only a mood, but may actually put you into a spotlight that gets you noticed as well too. So that's, I think that's my biggest thing, is to not let those things put you down, but to congratulate them and celebrate them and know that that's going to be you next. And if you got to take that attitude, that'll get you a long way along.
And you're only seeing the highlight if you're seeing what's on social media. You don't know what it took for them to get to that point.
Also, if that's real as well.
Yeah, and if it's real.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Pete, and then I'll finish with Chris. Go ahead.
So the other day I'm talking to my dad, and my dad and I very rarely agree on much of anything. But he said something which really kind of touched me, because he said, you know, one of the things he admired about me was that I don't give up. And by that, what he was saying was that as long as you do the work and you're proud of the work you do, and you say you've done the work to the best of your ability, then it doesn't matter what the end result is, because as long as you can say that you did what you were supposed to do, then that's all that should matter. And that's all that should matter for anybody. Now, as far as having other people and celebrating it, that's all great. For me personally, I love when other people succeed, because that makes me angry and I want to beat them. And I'm not saying that that's right for everybody, but I definitely think that, you know what, you should take that, you know, feeling of frustration, and instead of being frustrated, just kind of focus it at those people and say, now I have a target. Because the thing is, you can be happy for everybody in the world, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how happy you are for anybody else if they're not fucking happy for you. And it's great that other people are successful and you're friends with them, and it's all well and good, until they actually say, hey, come in here and do this for me. It doesn't matter. So to me, it's always about, you know, do the work as well as you can, let the chips fall where they may, and find people to aspire to be better than. At least, again, that's my opinion.
Okay, it's Chris.
Sure. So two things. One thing is to stop comparing yourselves to others. Okay, that's the worst thing you can do, is try to compare your success to somebody else's. And also be grateful in your success. I mean, you've had two plays published. How many writers are out there that have been working maybe as long as you and haven't had one published, or even looked at, or nobody even like thought about even reading their shit, or they can't even get in contact with anybody that would even publish their shit? So you got to concentrate on the good things that you do have. And also too, like Elizabeth said, there is no timeline. What matters is if you keep going, if you still have the desire for it, then you keep going. If you don't have, if you're struggling with the desire for it, then that's maybe something that you need to sit down and assess. But if you still have a strong desire for it, keep working, because at the end of the day, if you stop, what are you going to think back on? Like, if you put 15, 20 years into this business and then you stop and then go do something else that doesn't really satisfy you, then you're going to think about all that time that you spent and you gave up. It's going to kill you even worse, and you're probably going to be even more sad and depressed and all these negative things. So just keep working and forget everybody else. Do your work and try to appreciate the little things, like the fact that you have been published before. Not a lot of writers can say they've been published before.
Yeah, great advice, guys. Okay, let's move on to our next one. Our next question comes from All Alone. She writes, "Dear TMI Daily, I'm a 38-year-old virgin.
Stop it.
I grew up in a conservative Christian home and town. And while those are factors, I'm ashamed to talk about the most major factor, which is simply that I don't think I could stand to kiss or have sex with anyone as ugly as I am. This is not just low self-esteem. I'm morbidly obese. The only person I can imagine going for me is someone equally fat and or ugly who is desperate for sex but can't get anyone better. And I feel that I'd rather die than touch someone like that. I seriously don't think I'm the kind of person who could ever become attracted to someone I wasn't attracted to before just because of their personality. So please tell me, is there any possibility of someone like me getting at least an average-looking, non-overweight partner?" Now, I have a problem with this. And I'm going to tell you the problem.
Wait, before you start.
Ooh.
Before you start, you know I have to ask, because I asked the last time when it was this wild. Is this real?
Yes. Yeah, it's 100% real.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Hold on, let me preface that. It's 100% real. There was a much longer question because this horrible human being, because she really is when you read the whole thing, was actually asking the question because she moved out of her parents' house and was living in a house with a husband and wife friend of hers who were subtly hinting that she should leave because they wanted to have a baby. And so she was trying to decide if she should just swallow her pride and fuck somebody ugly just so that she could get somebody to take care of her. That was the bigger question. So I condensed it down.
Okay.
I condensed it down to this.
What does she need my advice for?
Yeah, that adds a real weird wrinkle into
it. Like she got it figured out.
Sorry for her, but then she's also like dissing other people for their look. Yeah. So I don't feel sorry for her. I'm like,
beggars can't be choosers.
Elizabeth, let me hear what you have to say.
First things first, go to fucking therapy immediately.
Yep.
Go to therapy. That's going to work on what is, yes, it is a self-esteem issue. You're fucking lying to yourself. That'll help with so many things. Might even help with the weight issue if you don't feel comfortable in your body. But going to therapy to talk about all the things that are holding you back from living a life, basically, is going to be the real key to kind of unlock this. But hold up, hooking up with somebody to be taken care of was left out of the equation in the letter?
Well, I just
I thought
that it was two different questions
that
they were asking, and I figured it would be easier to just answer the big question than answer
because the big question is just
convoluted.
Big question is go to therapy. The smaller question of the married couple wants a baby, and if you're living with them and they want you to move, there's somebody's got to move, and I'm assuming
probably not going to be the baby.
But if you're looking for someone to take care of you, again, that's still a therapy thing because you don't really need anyone to take care of you unless you have like a legit medical condition. Maybe they do. I don't know. But first and foremost, go the fuck to therapy.
I want to throw one more fact out there. The original name of who the letter was from was Whore or Leech. That's what she called herself.
Praise Almighty. Okay.
She's clear she has some esteem issues.
Just go to therapy, Jesus.
Stuart, I want to hear your advice to this
one. Yeah, please, Stuart.
I don't think her problems are appearance. I think she's just an asshole.
I think you're dead right.
It's 100% right.
I have a feeling she's pretty average looking and maybe like slightly overweight, but she's probably just a gigantic bitch, and that's why nobody likes her.
Yeah, that's like, I think you're
she's
right.
Like she's like and. I mean, I think that's what I think. Just stop being such a piece of shit, and then maybe somebody will have sex
with
you.
Maybe you'll find someone. Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if you go around assuming everybody hates you, it's the if you meet assholes all day, guess what? You're probably the asshole. So if you're believing it,
it's just like so dumb. She's
Stuart. I've never agreed with you more than I do this now.
I agree with you 100%, Stuart. I want to go to Joe, then I'll go to Chris. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, so if you are morbidly obese, like you said, and you have this problem where you're going to need a place to stay, you want to take care of some of your self-esteem issues, I think the easiest thing for you to do is to give our friends a call, the producers of My 600-Pound Life, because you'll be able to start a new life in Houston, Texas. If you listen to Dr. Nozard and do exactly what he says, you'll start losing a whole bunch of weight. And everything's great. And if you start losing a whole bunch of weight and you got a new life in Houston, I'm sure Chris knows some people that you might be able to go out on a date with you. Because he knows all the players down in Houston. I think with the attitude that you have, you will be really great for television. So my suggestion is call My 600-Pound Life.
Okay. Chris.
I've dated somebody with this type of personality before, so I know how to navigate it now that at first I was like, this is a fucking nutcase, but now I know that like, you see this kind of person that like thinks everybody is an asshole because she's so afraid to be vulnerable. So that's already a problem. Like Elizabeth said, you need to go to therapy for that, because if you got these walls up and if everybody's an asshole, you're probably the asshole. There's no way that you're seeing assholes every day of your life and all day of every day of your life.
Unless you're a proctologist.
It does not sound like she's gainfully employed.
I mean, they have weekends off.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, I feel like that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Even, you know what I mean? Like, so if everybody's a dick, then that's probably your problem. So you need to go get some therapy. Secondly, nobody on this fucking planet should want to live a life of just like being kept by somebody. I'm sorry. Like, we're not in the 50s anymore. Nobody wants to do that. No man wants to put up with somebody who won't get off their ass. And if a man is willing to put up with that, that's a control thing. And he's probably going to fucking kill you because he's going to fetishize you and feed you until you fucking explode. So that's not a good relationship to want to be in, because that's toxic as fuck. Thirdly, if you're worried about, like, and that's the thing too. A lot of these problems, I'm not saying that, like, therapy, and then, like, yeah, if you're worried about your weight, do something about it. Go to therapy. Feel better about yourself. Start there. And then when you start to lose the weight, you'll probably find yourself more attractive, and you'll be willing to be vulnerable and open yourself up to finding love with somebody else, and you won't be so fucking, like, ready to duke it out with everybody. You got to fix those problems first before you can be in a relationship. Because here's the thing. As it stands right now, even if a guy is into you, you know, he might stay around for a few months, and then he's going to be like, why the fuck am I putting up with this shit? I don't need to be abused, because nobody wants to be abused in a relationship unless you have issues, which you then need to go to therapy for.
Very true. Amen. Go ahead. Ian?
Oh, hey. I was just going to say, if you have a glamour shots in your town,
Get him off the
leather jacket.
Close his window out. Close his window out.
Get him man in no time. Get him man in no time.
Okay. Glamour shots. What is this, 2001?
2001? Try 1981, bro.
And then, wait, Stuart's like, what are glamour shots?
is that like when you go to like JCPenney and they like
they were terrible.
No, it was its own thing. It wasn't JCPenney.
It was next to JCPenney.
It was like Midwest boudoir photography.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's go to our final question. Now, our final question comes from No Fan. Uh-oh. He writes, my grandmother told my family that she's talking to and going to marry country singer Toby Keith, but that it has to be a secret because his manager doesn't want it getting out for bad publicity.
Multiple
family members and I have tried to tell her that this is a scam when she asked us all for $3,000
to
Toby Keith, but she will not listen to us at all. She just texted my dad yesterday that she plans to move to Oklahoma soon to be with Toby. I'm worried that she'll give up all of her banking information or something, and I have no idea how to stop it or help. And she won't tell us any further details. What should I do?
Poor baby. Actually, I read this one earlier today. No, this is 100%... you can call like adult social services to intervene. This is like a legit, like kind of not funny answer, but yeah. You have to get a hold of like an adult social services or intervention. They, I don't know what state they're in, obviously, but there's a lot of services like that can help intervene and hopefully stop it at least temporarily. And then you can get power of attorney as, you know, the grandchildren or adult children of this person, because they desperately, desperately need help. It could be dementia, just all sorts of horrible things. Bank accounts, it's like, my grandma got fleeced by a gas company thing. They just came door to door and she gave them their information at the time. It's a hugely dangerous thing for senior citizens, especially if they're suffering from like a dementia, Alzheimer's situation. So not a funny answer, but a true one. You get adult social services. And I was reading comments on that particular one, is Toby Keith is aware of this scam and has tried to warn people and like say, I've been married for 30 plus years. And
right.
And the sad thing is like, I don't know how people's brains work when they hear like a celebrity say, I need $3,000 from you. What the fuck does Toby Keith need $3,000 from a little old lady?
sounds like he might have some form of dementia, because if you believe that, I mean, anybody that's in their right mind, and I'm not like, you know, making fun of her at all, but would know, first of all, no, I am not marrying Toby Keith, and no, he does not need money from me.
Yeah.
You know, so, no, it is.
This is really sad, because it's a real thing that happens to a lot of elderly people, especially now. There's also a scam that I was reading about where if some people call and get enough information, they call a grandparent and say, hey, your grandson or son is in jail. Can you go withdraw this money? That happened to
Veronica's mom one time.
Oh, no. Yeah. See? It's bad.
I was on my new kids cruise when it happened. And he tried to contact me on a ship. And obviously, it was really hard for me to get, you know, phone calls at sea. Mm-hmm. But luckily, you know, Pete was home. And, somebody called her and said that my cousin was in jail, and they knew my cousin's name, and he's a fireman for Malibu, and they knew exactly. He's like, oh yeah, he was putting out a fire, and she's like, oh my gosh, it's got to be, you know, I don't want to say his name, but it's got to be so and so, her nephew. And he's like, you know, because he works for the fire department. And luckily, Pete was there, and he was like, no, you cannot, you know, you're not going to bail him out because he's not, you know, he's not in jail. But it's scary.
Yeah.
Danny,
power of attorney.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Somebody save her, you know, freeze her assets, whatever you need to do. But that is so sad.
Yeah,
you know, but it can quickly be fixed just by doing that.
Yeah,
you know, I just think it's so funny. Like when I first read it, I did chuckle a little bit, but like now putting it into perspective, you know, it is sad because she's probably, you know, going through some dementia. But the fact that her family's writing in to an advice column instead of doing like something legally, it's just, you know, mind-blowing.
Everybody needs help there.
Anybody who writes
somebody new watch the Britney Spears documentary.
Yeah, but the funny part about it is that they picked Toby Keith.
Yeah, like, that's what that is the only funny part Toby is Keith. That it's Toby Keith.
Maybe she's into country music.
Did these scammers, like, are they somewhere in like Nambia doing like a survey? Let's see, which one of these American I Am artists would be the one that old people would go.
That's a great question. That is
hang on, because this is what I want to talk about. So the other day on Instagram, one of I like to follow celebrities on Instagram and all that. One of the celebrities I follow is Marissa Tomei. I was lucky to get to meet her when we were on the boating day, and I got a message from Marissa Tomei on my Instagram.
She likes short bald guys.
The first thing you do is you look at the account. Of course, this wasn't Marissa Tomei's account. It was Marissa Tomei .8 or something like that. Or sometimes they misspell it or something like that. They have no followers. You know, they'll try and tell you that it's an alternative account that they just use to talk to people.
This happened to me too.
So they started talking. So the first obviously they fish out to find the person who's going to be gullible to do this. So they started talking, and so the first thing I did back was to act like I personally, because it says I live in Hollywood, so I act like I personally knew her. So I wrote back, I'm like, hey, Rish, why didn't you just text me on this? Is there something wrong with your phone? You know, like, hey, we should do lunch next week like we did. You know your favorite place. And they stopped. But the point is that what they did was they went on Marissa Tomei's Instagram, saw everyone that was following, and just started hitting all of them and hoping to get a hit. So that's what happened. This lady probably liked Toby Keith. Mm-hmm. Was following on Facebook or Instagram or something like that. That's how it got started.
That happened to me with Gerard Butler. I had a fake Gerard Butler talk to me, and I knew it was fake, so I just kept going because I was having too much fun. And it was at the time during those really bad Malibu fires a couple years ago, and his Malibu house burned down. Like, he posted a photo of it, like, it's standing in the ashes.
It's gone,
And so I said, I was like, well, I'm so sorry about your house. Did you lose anything? Anything important or sentimental? He was like, no, you know, most of that stuff's like back in Scotland. I was like, oh, that's a relief. That's good. And then it was also around Thanksgiving. And again, the actual Gerard Butler was posting that he was going on a trip to Haiti and doing like a feed the children thing. And so I wrote, how's Haiti? And he was like, I can't keep talking on the Instagram. We got to go to this other app, which is where they're going to ask for the money or whatever. And I was like, look, I know you're not Gerard Butler. This has been fun, though. Have a good one. I'm going to report you. Bye-bye.
That happens a lot with celebrities, especially on Instagram, too. It happens with the new kids all the time. Like, we report ages constantly. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going by what Joe says, Danny any day now is going to get something from either Taylor Swift or the baby.
His autograph is real, okay?
that you know of.
Ian, did you want to close out the segment?
Yeah, I had a suggestion. Okay, so it sounds like this woman is clearly she's not playing with a full deck. So here's what you do. This is real simple. You get yourself a Toby Keith impersonator. Doesn't even have to be a good one. She's not going to know the difference. You bring Toby Keith out. You're like, hey, Toby's here. You know, he wants to take you out to dinner. You take you to Red Lobster. And then you have him be a total dick bag to her the whole night, like on his phone, texting other girls, like and talking about himself the whole time. That's and then awesome. He just like, and then he, and then at the end of the night, he's like, you're going to catch an Uber, right? And just leaves her at the restaurant. Done.
Ian, you're forgetting one thing though. What if she has the same self-esteem as the girl from the previous letter? She might be into that.
Oh, damn it! You're right.
It's what I deserve from Toby Keith. Then,
a really good Toby Keith impersonator is probably more than $3,000. So maybe it just
then you get her. This is what. But then see, then you take her to glamour shots and you clean her up.
And you just all you got to do is go on Cameo to find a good Toby Keith impersonator.
Just get her a Chris Gaines. Get her a nice Chris Gaines.
Wait, hold on. You don't even need to do that much. Just get somebody that sort of looks like Toby Keith. If she's like old enough, she probably can't see. She probably got cataracts and shit. Like they're like, just get somebody in a cowboy hat with blonde hair. You're good. And then
hide her glasses and you're good.
Just go up to Riverside and go to any food court.
Yeah.
And you're fine.
So speaking of Cameo, before we close tonight's show, we thought we would check in with the panel on their progress to get on Cameo, the celebrity video site. So how are we doing with that, guys? Everybody's got to try to get on.
No response.
Haven't heard from yet.
I joined today and I was so excited because I've never been on Cameo. So I went on the website and the first person that I saw that I got so excited was Dean Norris from Breaking Bad.
I love it.
Did you get him
something for my birthday?
How much is Dean Norris, by the way?
I think he was like, I don't know, like $250 or something like that.
$250, wow.
Yeah, I watched some of the videos.
That sounds a little inflated. What about we just send him lunch?
I was looking at some of the videos here, because again, I had never been on the website. So I looked at some of the videos that he had made and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like Elizabeth, like what you've said, like I'm like, for certain people, but I don't know why I got so excited to see him on there because I loved his character.
It's the right app.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's $20. It's $20 for Bob and Pete from the Bob and Pete podcast. I'd like to point out that the Bob and Pete podcast is on there. So how come you haven't emailed me yet, Cameo?
They're going to take us.
So I'm just playing coy.
You're
back. I got like the welcome email that says I have it right here. Welcome to Cameo Famio or something like that. It said.
I hated that too, Pete.
Ready to experience the magic, make your mom cry happy tears on her birthday, or roast your buddy for his bachelor party. Feeling down? Get a pep talk from your favorite person. So they sent me that email. I'm sure you guys have gotten one.
Yeah, too. That's just the like.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna keep checking in, but we have to keep checking in on our progress. So,
cool.
Okay. So Ian, you still have to do it. Danny, you still have to do it. Stuart, have you done it?
I submitted mine. I have not heard anything.
Okay.
If Joe gets accepted and I don't, I'm going to be so mad.
Stuart, I hope you submit it as Wolverine, please.
Yeah.
As who?
Hold on.
Wolverine!
Oh,
I'm not pulling up the phone.
Submit it as Hugh Jackman. There you go.
Oh my God. Yeah. Took some elderly person out of money.
I'll be checking in with you guys to see how your progress is going, and we'll go from there. So that is our show for tonight. Don't forget that tomorrow night, we have a very special game show. It's Cameo Price is Right, in which we all try and guess the cost of personal videos from different celebrities. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you tune in. That's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night.
I hope I get to play Plinko.
Get it there.